The reading is Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 30, Timothy and Epaphroditus. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare, for everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honour men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. Amen.
And please turn back to the passage in Philippians that we read just now, as we, I guess, are in the middle of this letter now, at the end of chapter 2. And we'll look at these few verses. Can I just add something to the notices about, glad you asked. The course is indeed for people who are interested in Christianity, people who may not know much about it. But it's also for those who might not be so interested, people who don't believe in God because of those very questions. They don't believe God exists because they believe science has disproved God. They don't believe God exists because all the suffering in the world, or the Bible is old and it's not true. So maybe you know people like that. You live with them, you work with them. Why not challenge them to come along to the course, to share their opinion, because that's what the course is about. It's about sharing together, watching the video, hearing a defense for those questions. And we want people to come and to share their views. And we have confidence that the Bible and Christianity can stand up against these issues. So if you know people who are like that, then why not ask them to come along? Okay, so Philippians. As we heard in the prayer, many students over the last week have been receiving their A-level results. I don't know if there's anybody here who got their results this week, hoping to get the grades they needed to go off to university in September. Some, I'm sure, were glad. Others, maybe not so glad. They wish they'd done better. But these students have spent the last year filling in application forms for the university of their choice. I don't know whether you can remember the last application form you filled out. Maybe it was for university. Maybe it was for a job recently. Maybe an application form for a credit card or for a visa to travel abroad. But whenever we fill out application forms, part of the process is to write down references, isn't it? Please give the name and addresses of people who can vouch for you, who can tell us the truth about who you are, who can say whether the things you've said in your application form are actually true. I don't know if you've ever been asked to be a referee on a form. I have on a few occasions, and it's a great honour to have that responsibility of telling the truth about someone else. But also it's quite hard, because the questions you get asked are tough, and you never really think about the person in that way. Questions about their character, questions about their strengths or their weaknesses, their experience, questions about whether you think they're suited for this particular task that they've applied for. Well, these verses here in Philippians chapter 2 are, in a way, Paul's reference for Timothy and Epaphroditus as he recommends them back to the church in Philippi. Last week, Peter Evans showed us from the beginning of chapter 2 about our call to serve God. As we see Christ's example of all that he has done for us in humbling himself, dying upon a cross, then God raising him up to be exalted in heaven, And that call for us then to respond and to work out our own salvation in following him and serving him. And Paul so far in the letter has been teaching the Philippians. He's been sharing his heart. He's been showing how he longs for the Philippians. In the beginning of chapter 1 in verse 6, he says that he longs for them. He's wrestling, isn't he? Because he's in prison. He really wants to be back with the Philippians. But he knows that he can't at the moment. And so here he's saying, although I can't come, I'm going to send others who can come to you and help you. Timothy, he hopes to send, but he's definitely sending Epaphroditus. He's the one who has the letter, and he's returning back to Philippi. I wonder if Paul was to be your referee as you serve God in your Christian life. What kind of reference would he write about you? What would he say about your Christian character, about your service in the church? Well, as we look at these verses, let's ask ourselves those questions about how we serve in the church. I want us to look at three particular points this evening, positive comments that Paul makes about Timothy and Epaphroditus. Firstly, that they are committed to Jesus Christ. Secondly, that they are team players. And thirdly, that they have a heart for the people. So firstly, Christian servants are committed to Jesus Christ. When Paul describes Timothy to the Philippians, he says there in verse 20, that I have no one like him who will show genuine concern and interest for your welfare. For everyone looks out for his interests and not those of Jesus Christ. What Paul is saying is that Timothy is a man who doesn't put his interests first, but puts Jesus' interests first and seeking to do his will. So a servant of Christ, a Christian, is someone who's committed to Jesus Christ. Well, of course, the definition of a Christian is someone who is trusted in Christ, isn't it? Someone who's recognized their sin and has come to Christ as the only one who can save them from their sin. But yet, God doesn't call us just to accept our salvation and grace from God, but he calls us to go on and serve him and to be committed in how we live our lives. I think Paul is showing how Timothy and Epaphroditus in this letter are people who are really committed to Christ and not to themselves. Timothy was a man, wasn't he, who followed with Paul around the world as he preached the gospel, as he planted churches. He was confident that he wanted to do nothing else but preach Christ crucified with Paul. And Paul says here that he has no one who's like him. Paul is saying that there are many people who do serve God, of course. But he's noticed that some of them are doing it with the wrong motives. They're doing it out of selfish ambition. We read about that in chapter 1. Paul is talking about the fact that he's in prison and that there's things going on outside the prison. And he says in verse 15 that it's true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry. And then in verse 17 he says that these are preaching Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. Now, Paul does go on to say that it's good that the gospel is being preached, first and foremost, even if it is out of false motives. But, of course, if we are serving Christ for our own glory, then that's not a good thing, is it? It leads to ineffectiveness in our ministry. It will lead to sin and a false teaching, perhaps. Out of what motives do we serve the Church of God? Out of what motives do you serve here in Highfields, in the places that you do? There are many of us who serve the church on a Sunday and throughout the week in various different ministries. But the temptation sometimes is for us to do it out of our own motives, isn't it? To receive glory for ourselves, to get approval and pleasing comments from other people. I think one of the greatest temptations for a preacher to stand up here is that you want to turn away from preaching faithfully the Word of God and to teach and preach what people want to hear. And that's a temptation for people like that. There will be people in the church who don't serve at all. People who are happy just to accept grace, but then live life how they want to. How do you serve? What motive do you serve Christ? Have you been affected and changed by the gospel about those words that we read last week in Philippians 2 of all that Christ has done for us in the cross? Is your response not to want to please him and to serve him wholeheartedly? That should be how we want to serve. Timothy was committed to Jesus Christ. And then so was Epaphroditus. He was a man who risked his life in verse 30. He'd almost died for the work of Christ. Epaphroditus from Philippi had travelled all the way to Rome to visit Paul, to meet his needs. And some think that he was even on his journey that he fell ill. But yet he didn't turn back. He didn't stop. But he kept going. He wanted to fulfill his task, even if it meant that he would suffer and maybe lose his life. His main goal was just to serve Christ and to put him first, not his own needs. That's what it means to serve Christ, isn't it? To put him first and to put ourselves behind. We may never have to literally give our lives up to death, but we are called to give of all that we have to serve Christ while we're here on earth. That's the reason why we're still here and are not in heaven yet, is because God has a purpose and a task for us to fulfill. We're not here to pass by the Great Commission or to ignore the needs of those that are around us, but to serve one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, to preach the gospel. In his book, Let the Nations Be Glad, John Piper tells a very challenging story of a man called Joseph who lived in Africa. This man was radically changed by the gospel and was converted and wanted to go back to his home village to tell his friends and his family about Jesus. And so he went, and when he got there, he told them about Christ. But his friends and family not only rejected the message, but they beat him up severely. And they threw him out of the village and left him to die. When the man regained consciousness and recovered from his wounds, he thought to himself, well, maybe I said something wrong. Maybe I missed something out in the gospel message. So he went back to the village and he preached Christ again to his friends. But again, the people beat him, reopening the wounds that were there at first and definitely left him outside the village to die. But God had mercy on him and he survived. After a few days of coming in and out of consciousness, he decided once again to re-enter the village to speak of Christ. The people couldn't believe it. Even before he reached the village, they had got him, attacked him. But the last thing that he saw before he went unconscious was the women weeping at what was happening. The next thing he knew was that he was lying in his own bed, being nursed by the very people who had beaten him up. The whole village had been converted to Christ. A great story of someone who risked his life, who gave up everything for the cause of the gospel. It had changed him so much that he was prepared to give all, like Epaphroditus, for the sake of the gospel. Stories like this are challenging, aren't they? We think about our own commitments to Christ. And sometimes we feel very ashamed that we're not so brave in our Christian walk. Are you a Christian servant who is willing to serve Christ whatever the cost? To serve him even though it may put you out sometimes. To serve him maybe when it may cost you some money. To serve him when it uses up your precious time. To serve him when it may require you to take a hit from a friend or from a foe. Are we serving Christ for his glory? Christian servants are committed to Jesus Christ. Secondly, Christian servants are team players. As you read through the New Testament, you see that all those who do gospel work are team players. There's no such thing as a one-man gospel band. No one ever goes out on their own to plant a church and to preach the gospel. You always see them working in teams. Even Paul himself always has someone with him that he's traveling with. There was no such thing as the Apostle Paul Ministries.com because it wasn't about him. It was about Christ. And Timothy here, we see, was a man who was a team player. Verse 22, Paul describes him and he says, you know, Timothy, that he's proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. Timothy, a man who had come with Paul, who had served with him, who had gone, he'd been taken under Paul's wing. He'd learned from him. He was trained by him. He served with him. Paul is teaching him the ropes. He's passing on his experience to Timothy. And we see Paul doing this to many people throughout the book of Acts, people who he's working with and passing on his experience. The Philippians knew Timothy. He was there when the church was planted. And they knew that this was true, that he was a man who had proved himself faithful in his work. Someone who wasn't in it for himself, but was willing to join and work with others for the gospel. I think for me, as I train for ministry and as I've been involved in ministry over the past, I've learned that it's really important to find out a father-like figure in the faith. Someone who you can come alongside. Someone who you can learn from. Someone who you can help out. Someone who's been there and done that in a way, who's got the experience. Someone who themselves has learned from someone else. And you can be a part of their team and grow. That's how we do grow and develop our ministries, isn't it? Whatever we're involved in, we do it by learning from other people. Those that are going to be doing the MA course in September, they're doing just that, coming alongside someone in the church and learning from them, helping them, serving with them. Assistant ministers, even senior ministers, or people who have looked to someone else, who've learned from someone else and been trained by someone else. Partnership and fellowship and learning from others is part of what it means to serve Christ. I'm sure you have been watching the Olympic Games over the last few weeks, and you saw Usain Bolt do his double-double, or his triple-triple, as it was. A man who won both 100 metres, 200 metres, and 4x100 metres in two successive Olympic Games. Why are the Jamaicans so fast? Why do they always win? The commentators were discussing this particular question one evening. And one of them said he thinks it's partly because success breeds success. What he meant was that back in Jamaica, athletics is the main sport in Jamaica. So kids are growing up loving athletics. They're doing it. But when they also see people like Usain Bolt winning all the time, it encourages them. It spurs them on to want to follow in his footsteps, to want to be like him. The guys who got silver and bronze in the 200 meters, they were also Jamaican. People who knew Usain Bolt, who trained with him, who wanted to be like him. And so likewise, as Christians in service of God, we too should be learning from others and being trained up. So that's Timothy, a son working with Paul. Epaphroditus was called a brother. He's someone who worked alongside Paul as a co-worker, a fellow soldier. Paul uses words here to describe him in the sense of that partnership, that working together that they do. Paul always values his fellow workers. He's always interested in using them as part of his team. He's traveling the world preaching the gospel. He's well known. You know, he's willing to work with people like Epaphroditus, someone who we know very little about. We only know from Philippians stuff about him. And yet here we see men putting aside their own interests, being committed to working together for the cause of the gospel. Epaphroditus, a fellow soldier, suffering for the gospel, being ill, like, and Paul being in prison, and yet doing it all for the cause of the gospel. And you see, don't you, throughout Philippians, this closeness, this warmth, this fellowship that there is between Paul and all the workers and the church in Philippi. There's such emotion shared in his letter. And when Epaphroditus was ill, I'm sure the church were, we read, don't we, that they really were concerned about him. And Paul was too. And they didn't know whether he was going to survive. But when he did, there was great joy. So part of working working for Christ in his church is that we work with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, united in him to serve with one another for him. We're all different, aren't we? We all have different characters. We have different gifts to bring, different experiences, different ideas to share. We can be so much more effective if we do that together, if we're willing to serve with people who are different than us, willing to learn from them and use their gifts, and willing to give and share from our gifts as well. Bradley Wiggins, who won the Tour de France this year. He won it not only because he was a great cyclist, but because he was part of a great team. Team Sky had worked together, each person doing their own part to bring Bradley Wiggins to the finish line first. Some of the cyclists were good at sprinting, some were good in the mountains, some were good at setting a pace, but each of them had a part to play in helping Bradley Wiggins. Some of them even sacrificed their own success to help him get the yellow jersey. And Team Sky's success was so great that when it came to the Olympic Games, if you remember the road race, the whole world ganged up against Team GB so that they wouldn't get the gold. They didn't care about the gold. They just didn't want Mark Cavendish to get the gold. Do you work as part of a team? Do you work in the body of Christ? Do you recognize your role in the church? Do you know what that is? How can you share? Are you someone who leads others? Are you someone who's being led? Are you someone who can come alongside others and work together for the gospel? So Christian servants are team players. Thirdly, Christian servants have a heart for serving people. We've committed ourselves to Jesus Christ. We long to serve him because of all that he's done for us. We want to work together as a team. We do it all with the whole motivation and reason of serving others, of sharing the gospel and meeting the needs in the church. There are many needs, aren't there, around us. Sometimes we can't see them. We have spiritual needs, needs of people who don't know Christ, needs of those who struggle with sin and temptation, and these spiritual needs of wanting to grow and to become more like Christ. Practical needs of needing a lift to church, perhaps, or help moving house. Social needs of receiving a visit from someone when you're ill, or having friendships for people who are lonely. We have emotional needs, needs of comfort when we suffer, when we experience disappointments and bereavement. Serving Christ in the church is about meeting the needs of our community. Timothy and Epaphroditus knew that, and they had a heart to help the body, to serve the body. Timothy is described as someone who will show genuine concern for the welfare of the Philippians. He was a man who was there at the beginning. He loved the church. He had concern for them. He, I'm sure, had heard the news from Epaphroditus of all that was going on in Philippi. And along with Paul, he shared the concern to want to help in the difficulties that they experienced, to perhaps teach them and train them further. And so Timothy is wanting to go and to be sent by Paul to meet those very needs. Christian workers meet the needs of others. The reason you can hear me today is because someone is up there moving the slider. The reason we can sing songs is because someone's willing to press the button in the PowerPoint. The reason we can have a cup of tea and tonight some cake is because someone is willing to serve the body in providing in these needs. The reason that we can send our children to Sunday school and to various ministries during the week is because there are people in the church who have a heart for people, who love Christ, who want to share him with others and see them grow in their Christ-likeness. How do you serve in the church? There's an encouraging example that came up a few years ago. Before Alison's dad died, he was quite ill and couldn't really leave the house much. And he would have visitors come round all the time to see him. But one of the visitors that came at one time was someone who you probably wouldn't expect, unfortunately. But he was a young 17-year-old boy. And he'd gone to Roy's house. Roy, who was much, much older than he was. And he was willing to take that time out of his life to talk with him, to have a drink with him. An amazing story of someone who knew his responsibility as a brother in Christ to meet the needs of others. Someone who wanted to be a servant for Christ. What is your passion? What are your interests? Where does your heart lie in the church? Are you an encourager? Are you a computer person? Are you a musician? Are you an administrator? Are you someone who loves to pray, who loves to help others? Timothy was someone who wanted to serve the people. Epaphroditus also was someone who wanted to serve the people. He was someone who had gone all the way to Rome to help and meet Paul's needs, but he was ill. And just because he was meeting someone else's needs, it didn't mean that he didn't have needs himself. We capture a glimpse, don't we, of the relationship of Epaphroditus. When he fell ill, he was really concerned for the people back in Philippi. Verse 26, we read, "For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard that he was ill." And he was ill. He almost died. A man who had suffered for the gospel, who needed help and needed comfort. And so when Paul sends Epaphroditus back, he says to the church, yes, be glad that he's returned, but also welcome him, honor him. Verse 29, welcome him in the Lord with great joy. Honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. Just because people serve doesn't mean that they themselves don't need serving. There are people in the church who do a lot of hard work, who give up their time and their money to serve the body. Do you know who they are? Do you thank them? Do you welcome them? Do you honor them by showing appreciation for the hard work that they do? Do you know those who are serving Christ in other parts of the country? Those that we read about on the gold sheets that are serving Christ in different countries around the world. People often who have given up their homes, who've left family, who've left familiarity, have gone to serve Christ in difficult situations. Do you welcome them when they return? Do you ask them how it's going? Do you ask them, how can I pray for you? How can I encourage you? Do you thank those who are serving God in the church? Do you know who the person is that hoovers the floor in this room? If not, why not find out and thank them and encourage them for the work that they do in serving the body? Over the last few weeks, we've been advertising this little booklet, Ministry Opportunities 2012. And in this booklet, it's full of various ways in which you can get involved in serving in the church. Even though Highfield is a big church, there's always lots to do. So if this evening you're wondering, well, I don't know how to serve, I don't know what I can do, take one of these if you haven't already and see and talk to people. See how you can share in serving the body of Christ. God is not looking for professionals. He's not looking for experts in the faith. He's looking for people who are committed to Jesus Christ, people who love him. People who want to serve him with all their hearts as a response to what he's done for them. He's looking for people who want to work as a team, want to work with others, learn from them, share their ideas. And he's looking for those who want to serve the people, who have a heart to meet the needs of those around us. So, as we close, do you serve in the church? How do you serve? What motives do you serve with if you do?